Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Rogers Campground in beautiful White Mountain, Southern New Hampshire. You guys should come hang out with us, although it is the last day. So if you come to hang out with us, if you're listening to this, you still want to come hang out with us, you better get here quickly. By the time this is playing, no, this will be playing tonight. I don't know. It's unclear. This is either playing tonight or tomorrow night. Either way, if you're listening to this, chances are very slim that you're going to be here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's been a very confusing day. Lots of dynamic changes to the schedule. Of course, we're all libertarians here, so you sort of expect that thing. We're running a libertarian time, so sometimes we're an hour late or half an hour late. Well, for whatever reason, I'm assuming the weather, a lot of changes were made to the schedule today, and that's peculiar because today's Saturday. It's the biggest day. This is the ultimate day of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and we've got people messing around with the schedule. I assumed at first it was Carla, but what I've learned is that Carla is not happy about it, so it was definitely not her. But Soapbox Idol is still going on a little over 2 hours from now. There was some confusion. I'm judging the event. That's the only reason I keep up with it. I'm basically in the event, right? I love it. It's the best one they have here. It was moved to noon without the judges. It was going to be called Soapbox Special, but now they brought it back to 6 o'clock, and now Carla and AJ are doing it. It's all very, very peculiar, very, very bizarre, but it's what you would expect from libertarians. Speaking of what you expect from libertarians, I'm joined here with Jack and the philosopher. Jack, I didn't actually get how you might prefer to be called on the radio.
So, Jack Lloyd is how we can go by that.
Jack Lloyd, I know that name.
I'm on the internet.
Okay, maybe that's why I know it then.
Oh, cool.
And, of course, Pho is how I know you. I don't know, is that your actual name? Or is that just a nickname that you go by? Because isn't that a type of noodle?
Yeah, that's right. You're very cultured. Yes, it's a Vietnamese noodle dish. It's my favorite food. I grew up with it, and I love philosophy, so that's why I'm the philosopher. And yeah, it's just my nickname.
It's very
my
clever.
My mom didn't call me burrito, you know what I mean?
Like, okay. Well, you never know these
it's
days,
true.
Right?
You never know. Right.
And I appreciate you saying I'm very cultured, but I cheated. In New Hampshire, in Keene in particular, we had a restaurant called Pho Keene Great. That's the word fun, the word keen, and the word great. And obviously, if you say that all very quickly, it's a lot of fun to say. And the city of Keene got upset about this because the person who started the restaurant was renting from the city of Keene, and they did approve and then they tried to take it back. So that's the only reason I know what pho is, because we had a pho restaurant there in Keene that specifically played into the word pho and the many ways you can have fun with that.
Yeah.
Again, pho Keen Great was the name of this restaurant. They did end up changing it to the Funky Noodle, again spelled P-H-O-N-K-Y.
Man, first name is way better. There was actually, on that note, there's supposed to be a pho vendor coming called Fuck You.
Oh, really?
Like Fuck You.
Right. Letter Q.
Oh,
pho and the letter Q.
Yeah, this would be Isabel, right? Because she was here last year.
Right, we heard last year they had it, and we've been waiting anxiously every day, checking out Site 8. And we're like, where is Fuck You? And they didn't come
up. Hot dogs and tacos.
So, yeah, we had to settle for hot dogs and tacos.
That's unfortunate. But she was definitely here last year. She had poker. She had a full air-conditioned RV type of thing last year, and we had poker in there. And she was definitely doing some sort of cooking last year. She started to open a French-Vietnamese restaurant in Keene to sort of compete with the Funky Noodle. And she was one of the part owners of the fucking great back when it initially opened. But there was a dispute between her and Malaise. Malaise more recently, sadly, passed away, so she's no longer with us. And so the restaurant itself is a close. And now in Keene, we no longer have a Vietnamese restaurant. But Isabel is notoriously hard to pin down. She's a very busy person, and just because she plans to be here and she wants to be here and she is scheduled to be here doesn't necessarily mean that everything will align and she will be here, sadly.
Okay.
So it's very interesting to sit across from you, and all credit to you too as well, Jack. But for like the philosopher, I've been seeing like memes of yours, especially on Facebook, for 5 or 6 years, if not more. As long as I can remember being a libertarian activist, I've been seeing content generated by you, especially the memes, on social media. And obviously I knew at some point there was a person behind it, but I never wondered why you were called the Pha-losopher.
Yeah.
And I never looked into what you actually did. I just thought you were someone who made memes, right? But that's wrong. I'm incorrect. So tell me, what exactly is it that you do?
Oh, well, I do a lot of things. So by day, I'm a software engineer. And on the weekends and nighttime, I try to do the philosopher and try to stay in the current events with memes. I've made, like, videos before, like, different short presentational videos, just trying to break down certain things. And now I'm really getting into music. And
in what way are you into music? Because I do a lot of rock music, and I love female singers in rock music, because there's something about the beauty of a woman's voice juxtaposed with, like, the raw intensity of rock music that I just absolutely love. So just
yeah,
curious, what kind of music?
Nice. Yeah. So we've made a lot of rap songs, and also we've dived into rock as well, have done some rock and rap, have tried some 80s synth music, have also tried our hand at country. So we just enjoy music a lot.
Okay. I actually knew this about the rap thing because someone said a few days ago they were going down to a libertarian rapper event that was happening at like 6 o'clock at the Pavilion.
That's on Tuesday. That was us.
And I was like, what are you talking about? I've never heard of this. So of course, I don't pay much attention to the Porcupine Freedom Festival schedule because it's so busy, it gets so full, and it changes so frequently.
Here.
And I'm usually here doing this, right?
Yeah.
So I hadn't even been aware of that. So how was it? How did that go?
It was a wild ride because we had an hour scheduled, and then everything that could go wrong went wrong. So we had the computer blue screening crash, like the one that was the center stage one. So we were very fortunate.
Probably
another guy,
the one
Alex,
providing like your backing tracks and your actual music and stuff.
Right. So it was actually, I think, Jason's wife's computer.
Okay.
So sorry if your computer doesn't work. Don't blame us. We swear. It was just music. We didn't put any viruses on there. It was a clean drive. We swear. Blame Microsoft. Or the government. But after that crash, we had a friend bring his computer, and we were trying to set up, and then there was distortion issues, so we were like troubleshooting that, then we had connection issues, and then we had the videos, that is the music videos, that were supposed to go to the TV screens, not playing right, and kind of being weirdly cut off, and then eventually we got to a point where just enough of the music video would kind of show on the screen, and we're like, alright, that's it, let's do this, so we ran
like
and raced
20
through
minutes.
It. Yeah, it took about 30 minutes even, and
23 minutes,
and we did it. We did all 8 songs.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, we had that buffer room. If we didn't, we would be in deep trouble. But and thanks to the AV team again for busting to really try to help get everything set up and done right.
So I completely feel your pain. I performed a wedding here Saturday, and as usual, anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Oh yeah.
We had an issue with the microphone that I was using. Actually, I forgot the microphones. We needed 3 wireless microphones because there was a crowd of 200-ish people that we were expecting, which is huge for a wedding.
Yeah, that's huge.
And we ended up, so I had to get someone to go by my house and get the microphones and bring them up here. They did that, and then it turned out one of them didn't even work, which I didn't know. I mean, the actual microphone part of it was broken, so we only had 2 microphones, and we decided that it was more important than me that I be the one who was mic'd, since I was doing most of the speaking, doing the actual ceremony.
Very true.
And that ended up being broken because someone hit one of the cables on the mixer there. The only reason we needed the mixer was to take all 3 mic inputs and route them into a single speaker anyway, but someone hit the cable and they broke that cable, so it was shorting in and out the entire time I was speaking, and I thought it was the device I was holding just being finicky. It was a complete mess, but I'm told it still came out really well, and it sounds like your event, all things considered, still came out really well. That's how a lot of these things are, especially when I did the show Free Talk Live from my in-home studio. Anything that could go wrong, any random weird little thing that never ever goes wrong would suddenly go wrong. Like a microphone arm that had been attached to the table for 6 months, not moving. It had just been sitting there perfectly attached, would just fall randomly in the middle of a show. So I feel your pain on that. That seems to be the way things go. Anything that can go wrong will. So what else do you have? Did you have any other events here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, or was it just the one, the rap event?
We had several events. In fact, we had a second performance with Emo Night.
Yeah.
We did 2 of our more emo songs.
Okay.
Amidst a set of other music, yeah. And it was amazing. Ben Weir did that at the Emo Caucus.
Yeah,
he killed
Ben
it.
Weir.
He was a professional. He brought his own equipment, huge speakers, amazing mixing board. I mean, he got the crowd hyped. There was a mosh pit. But it was as, you know, voluntarious of a mosh pit as you can imagine. Everybody's like, yeah, you consent, you consent. And they hit each other, right? So,
well,
yeah.
I've been to a lot of rock shows, and that's generally how mosh pits are anyway, right?
Right,
they don't
right.
usually stop to say, hey, you consent to this? But,
right.
But it's
no,
it's very
bows.
Clear.
No one was punching yeah. each other. But they were very, very fun, respectful, just a great time. Like, absolutely fantastic. It felt like a real concert. Like, it was amazing. It was
that's
incredible.
Beautiful.
Huge
yeah,
crowd, too.
I wanted to get down there to that, but I ended up doing something else. I think that was the same night that there was a singles plus mixer going on at the nudist camp.
Okay, okay.
Body Freedom Village is what it's called.
I was like, yeah.
Touching tips.
Yeah, I was in and out of that. Well, not in this particular part.
Oh, okay.
That
only,
was later.
Only by accident.
Yeah, that was later and somewhere else.
Oh, that was Thursday night. Okay.
But because that's the sort of thing that happens here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There's never just one event. Yeah. There's always multiple events. And there's a real opportunity cost to going to any of them because, yes, I wanted to go to the emo thing, but at the same time, here's a bunch of nudists sitting around drinking alcohol, and it's like,
Ben Weir every year. Yeah, and then, yeah. Right, the nudists drink.
And then there's probably some other speech. And also last night, I think at the same time, Matt Roach, who does the show with us on Thursday nights, was giving a presentation on the Crypto Six, which you know, I'm one of the Crypto Six,
yes.
So I would love to have been there for that. But and Captain here was giving a preview of his new EP that is releasing in full on July the 4th. I think it's CaptainKickass.com if people want to go check that out. That's releasing again in full on July the 4th. So there's always multiple things here you can go to. I've been trying to catch up with Jeffrey Tucker all week long, and because every year we get him on the show, but he's notorious. Seriously hard to pin down to actually get on the show because he's always right. busy and we're always busy and the stars have to align very, very specifically for us to not be busy and for him to not be busy and for us to not be eating.
Yeah.
For that to sort of happen. But he's running the Brownstone Institute's tent down here where they're also having events regularly and speeches regularly. And you just got to love it, right? There's always something amazing to do, always something amazing to be a part of. And that's one of the things I like about the content that you're generating as well, because it takes so many different forms. Like, okay, you don't like rap, that's okay. Maybe you'll like this other thing or this meme, rather. If you don't like any of that, and maybe if you don't like that, you'll like this.
Right. Here's a book.
Comic books, nonfiction books.
You also have comic books and nonfiction books. All right.
So author of Voluntarius the Comic Series. So Voluntarius the Comic Series is my thing.
That's almost certainly why I know you then.
Okay.
Cool,
so
cool.
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm thinking that's probably going to be
okay.
Why.
It might be. I used to also be a part of Anarchy Ball back when that was a thing. I also have written nonfiction
Anarchy
books.
Anarchy Ball was like fractured. So there was an Anarchy Ball podcast that was not actually Anarchy Ball, if I remember right.
Uh-huh.
And it was all very confusing.
Yeah, so the original group, the main group that lasted, you know, up through 2019.
They had the ball memes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was one of the original people for that, making content throughout the years. And then I also have nonfiction books, like my book, The Definitive Guide to Libertarian Voluntarism and A Vision for Libertarian Future. So we have that arena covered. And then I also do stuff with unschooling through The Honest Teacher. So I promote unschooling and all the various ways and outlets you can possibly imagine out there, just because I'm a big proponent of getting kids out of the child prisons known as public schools.
Yeah.
And, we also have skits, memes. Educational videos, events. We have an event with Lou Perez coming up, a gun range event. So it's called Don't Shoot Lou. So we do take that to heart.
Yeah, we also host events.
Yeah,
that'll
so.
Be our third one in Tampa, Florida there.
Yeah, Tampa area. Yeah.
So you're based out of the Florida area?
Yes.
Is any possibility of you moving to New Hampshire, part of the Free State Project, or are you happy where you're at?
We're pretty happy where we're at, but we 100% always have supported Free State Project and Pork Fest. Love it, recommend it, always give it glowing recommendations. It's a libertarian mecca. We tell everybody to come here, you know, and visit, and we'd love to be back. So.
Yeah, but although for me, I must say, like, being here, meeting all the different New Hampshireites that actually live here, some of them that I've actually been friends with for the past several years, like Alou Axelman and his wife, Kate, I'm like, okay, I could really see myself settling down here and raising a family, but we have ties to Florida. It's really sunny year-round.
Yeah, it is.
I'm southern. I know. I hear that.
Your weather is a bit nicer down there. You mentioned being friends, you know, with people up here, and we've never actually met prior to this year, I don't believe.
Nope.
But I generally don't consider social media activism to be activism, right? I tend to look down on those libertarians, and as much as I look down on anyone, I try not to look down on people, but I don't consider posting to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram or whatever to be actual activism. But that's not necessarily true when we're talking about things on the scale of, like, the philosopher and anarchy ball that, like, I've got memories that I can pull up on Facebook right now, almost certainly, of either anarchy ball or the philosopher memes.
Wow.
That Facebook will want me to broadcast that I first shared, you know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
Something that's that impactful and influential, I don't think that counts as just libertarian activism online. I think there's more to it than that. And that being too hard on social media activism is probably the wrong way to approach things, because it can be very influential and very successful.
Definitely.
I've never met either of you, but I knew exactly who you were. It took me a minute because you introduced yourself as Pho and you said you created videos, and I was just sitting here outside the campsite talking to you, and then suddenly it clicked. Oh, you're
your
the
dog,
philosopher.
Your dog was like licking me, pretty girl. She's like,
yeah,
hey.
She was. She's super friendly. And suddenly it clicked. I was like, oh my God. I've been seeing your content for years, right?
Yeah, that blew me away. I'm like, because I saw you as part of the Crypto Six on the NBC Boston documentary. So
yeah.
I was like, whoa, hey. That's incredible, like, how we have those connections, even though we've never met in person.
Yeah,
and the stars aligned, you know.
And it's all because of the work that you do online. So on the subject of stuff you do online, all of that is fantastic. But is there anything that you do, any other activism, libertarian activism that you take part in? You said you mentioned wanting to start a family. Raising a family, it seems, is a form of activism in a lot of these cases. And I think of people like Jay Noon down there, who doesn't have a social security number, super hardcore libertarian, right? And like the way that he's raising his family, almost by definition, has to be considered to be activism in and of itself.
Yeah,
so
I think
it's difficult to define activism. So all of that said, is there anything that you do that would be that could be considered activism that you'd like to talk about, that you'd like to share with us?
Sure, like in person and things like that. We definitely are not just online, as you can see.
Right.
We are here in the flesh.
And my apologies. I gave you absolutely no warning. I was going to ask a question like that. It's like, here, think about your life's work for a second.
we do that stuff in person as well. We go to events, and even events that are outside of the scope of just being hardcore voluntarists or ANCAPs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk to people. So we're in the business of changing minds in the culture, and we do educate people in person,
mm-hmm.
and talk to them about the principles and help challenge them, you know, on a one-on-one basis. So it isn't just online, although I really appreciate you encapsulating that, you know, at scale, there's a lot of minds who could be changed, and I certainly have gotten that feedback directly. People
yeah.
who said, I had no idea about these principles. You changed my life. You changed my mind. I've had people who said that about her work, my work, and so on and so forth. But, you know, even with our family and stuff like that, we do outreach with them. You know, I've helped to change my own mom's mind. I've helped change my brother's mind. Activism doesn't have to be something that's grand. It could be as simple as just trying to change yourself and those who are your closest.
Because I generally take a strong stance against just social media activism. And that's not because I'm against social media. Lately these days, I'm more against social media than I am for it. I think the world would be a better place if we just nuked the servers at Facebook and Google and Twitter. I think just completely dismantling them or throwing them a volcano would make the world a better place. But there are a lot of libertarians out there who are fixated on the National Libertarian Party, which again is fine, nothing inherently wrong with that. But their only activism is posting online about liberty things. And that's very common. And these are the same sort of libertarians who joke about being on the FBI list or whatever. It's like, oh, you've seen the memes I post. I'm on the FBI's list. But like, no, you're deluded. If what you're doing is using the internet as your main source of activism, then the FBI wrote you off as a threat long ago. and that's not going to change. And that's what I mean when I get after social media activism. I just mean the people who just post online. They have a following of maybe a few hundred people or something. They're not using it as one means of promoting freedom. It's the only means that they have of promoting freedom or any sort of activism. So that's what I mean. I just want to be clear about that. A lot of what I do is on the internet, right? Like, there's no difference between tweeting about pro-liberty stuff and doing this radio show about pro-liberty stuff. If tweeting isn't activism, then neither is this radio show, realistically. It's just a difference in scale. So it's a nuanced subject, and I don't want to come down too hard on the criticism of social media. You mentioned a variety of forms that your content takes, though. Videos, memes, obviously, songs, nonfiction, comic books. Do you have a single central website that sort of takes all of these things and combine them together, or do you use multiple websites? Because I have a... I understand that if the theme is liberty, there's obviously going to be a connection between the libertarian nonfiction books or the libertarian comic books that someone writes and the libertarian rap songs that they write. But these are still two very different things. So do you have a single central website, I guess, is my question. How do you promote all of these disparate ideas?
Yeah, so we do it differently. I'm more like centralized, like I'm just the philosopher, and through the philosopher I have memes, videos, whatever, and everything's there on just one website. But you more have specializations.
And what is that website?
Thephilosopher.com.
Thephilosopher.com. And again, that's pho, like the Vietnamese noodle, P-H-O, and then philosopher.com.
Right.
Okay, fantastic. But if people Google that, I imagine they will find it.
Yeah, hopefully now. I think in the early days when I first had the philosopher, there was no one else. So when you would search on Google the philosopher, it would say, it would actually search for the philosopher instead.
Right.
And then only give you an option to click for the philosopher. But now I think after all the tagging and the whatever you call it, SEO or whatever that is, I think it's been searched enough that it actually will come up now. So it's
I went
cool.
through that as well early on in my career. I called myself the anarchist shemale because I just felt like that was going to be a good brand to roll with. And I sort of distanced myself from it in recent years, but it was, if you Googled those terms, you did not get anything related to libertarianism. It was a very long struggle getting the anarchist shemale on Google to represent anything that was related to liberty. So I completely get it. But philosopher at least doesn't have those inherent problems, and it's very much trademarkable. And I don't believe in intellectual property, but the idea, it's unique, I guess is what I'm saying. So you take the different approach, and you have multiple websites, is that correct?
Right. So I have a lot of different genres of creative content, and I'll operate under those things under different names. So for Voluntarius, the comic series, that's volcomic.com, VOLCOMIC.com. And then with other things, I'm going to have The Honest Teacher as my main page for doing educational things.
Jack, so that's TheHonestTeacher.com and BallComics.com?
So Facebook.com/TheHonestTeachers and then BallComics.com.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We are Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The head of a Russian mercenary group is ordering a halt to his military advance in Moscow. Russian state media says the leader of the Wagner group agreed to de-escalate the situation after talks with the president of Belarus. Former President Trump says he will contribute to the legal fund for January 6th defendants. In a video of the speech posted on social media, Trump said, quote, "You have great people and they've been made to pay a price." The number of pedestrian deaths in the U.S. is the highest it's been in more than 40 years. According to a report from the Governor's Highway Safety Administration, more than 7,500 pedestrians were killed in traffic accidents last year. Vice President Harris spoke Saturday to commemorate the anniversary of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. The decision ended the constitutional right for women to access abortions after 5 decades. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live for me, the final day of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, the final full day of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, because it does, of course, last until Sunday at noon, I believe, is the final event. But it's Saturday, it's raining here. A lot of people are treating yesterday as though it was the final day. A lot of people are packing up and leaving, because presumably because of the weather, but it's not that bad, right? From what I saw, there was supposed to be a lot of thunderstorms, and it was going to rain all day, but I think it's sprinkling a little bit right now, but a little rain never hurt anyone.
I'd hate to think the libertarians are made out of sugar.
They're definitely not. Maybe there's something else that reacts badly with water that is less sweet than sugar, and I can't think of them off the top of my head, but libertarians seem to not want to get wet, certainly, and a lot of people are packing up because of that. It's very strange. But, of course, I am joined by Ben of Goldbacks. People can find out more about that at goldback.com. Is that right, or is it Goldbacks?
Actually, it is singular, not plural. Goldback.com. And, yes, thank you for having me on.
And, of course, this hour is brought to you by the AMPS program. You can find that at amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon. So if you like the show, if you value the show, you want to help us reach a larger audience, the AMPS program is by far the best way to do that. That's amps.freetalklive.com. $5 per month gets you in. You can pay more than that if you want, but all we ask is $5. And it does come with a number of cool little perks, like some AMP-only videos, some AMP-only chats, AMP-only messages, and even an AMP-only version of the podcast. Unique to our Patreon supporters is the AMP version of the podcast, so it doesn't come with any of the commercials or any of that crap. So check it out, amps.freetalklive.com. So you're here with GoldBacks. This is your third year here, if I remember correctly,
That's
right?
That's correct, the third Porkfest. I tell you what, Porkfest has become for me one of those things that I just have to do every year. So many awesome people, and really our project has grown so much over those 3 years.
It has. It's been amazing, and I'm glad that Ian got to come up here yesterday to see it. I don't know if he was specifically looking for that or not, but 4 years ago was the first year that the Goldback was here.
at Rogers Campground at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and Ian had brought them, and he had his own personal stash that he was willing to distribute to people, and people were willing to accept them here. And that was the year where I sold wine for goldbacks, at one cup for one goldback. And as I understand it, that was the first known time that anything was actually priced in goldbacks.
Or at least it was the first time here in New Hampshire, for sure.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And the following year, you guys came, and you and someone else came from goldback.com, and you set up here on our site initially. I think you camped out here.
Yeah, we said, you know, I think we need to join the Shire Free Church and see if we can't camp with those guys, learn a thing or two about liberty in New Hampshire. But we had no idea really what we were getting into yet.
But it has gone very, very well. Very quickly after that, you were offered a better site up here at the top of the hill. I mean, this site is great for doing a radio show, don't get me wrong. But there are better sites for vending and getting your product or your project out there. And I think that was Kirby's Q, the barbecue place that you were here with that year.
Unfortunately, they have closed, but they were great supporters for us.
So, of course, then you had a similar site up here near Kirby's Q, but different. And now you're down there at the bowl, directly in front of the pavilion. You have your own shop. Well, it's not your own shop. Well, you are selling goldbacks for Goldback. Is that correct?
Well, yes, of course, we always sell the goldbacks. But one of the main things for this big pavilion is to create a marketplace where anybody wants to buy or sell anything, they can set up in there and experience a real free market with a free market currency. So our idea was just to create a venue where people are reminded to use the goldbacks. However, I realized that was almost superfluous, because setting up a space where we could teach people how to use goldbacks hasn't seemed necessary at Porkfest this year. People, pretty much everyone seems to be using them.
You're absolutely right. There are a ton of We Accept Goldback stickers here. I generally don't use USD at this event. Historically, I preferred using only cryptocurrency, and I would use cash if I absolutely had to. Now, of course, I'm banned from using cryptocurrency, at least until I'm on supervised release, until I get out of prison. So I've been using a lot of goldbacks, and I won't shop at any of these places that won't take goldbacks. One of the places was taking goldbacks, but he has stopped taking them. And I've learned that the reason was that he can no longer trade them in for cash. Presumably he was bringing the goldbacks to you at the end of the night and selling them for cash. It's like, no, dude, but you're not taking goldbacks at that point. You know, you're taking an IOU for U.S. dollars, and that's not what we're trying to do here.
Right. We are trying to do something much more than that. Of course, they are still valuable, and people still haven't really had much difficulty liquidating their goldbacks for USD, right?
I mean, no, I brought about an ounce worth of gold in goldbacks, and I'm almost completely sold out of it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
well, it's
I hope you've been selling it, because if you've been spending that much in 1 week at Porkfest, you're really living it up.
No, I've been selling it. You know, right. I got fined $5,000 by the federal government recently, and I paid $2,500 of that fine on the way up here, and I've been selling the gold to raise the money for the other half of the fine. So.
Right. So, yeah, it's obviously really easy to liquidate, but, yeah, we don't. And so sometimes people can use it as a coupon, but we don't really favor using it as a coupon, because the whole point is it's better than the USD.
Yes.
Because it's real gold, it has real value. And, you know, we all know where the USD is headed right now, too, is we're headed for a CBDC, and we're headed there quick. FedNow is already being implemented, and I can't imagine that they're going to take too long before all Federal Reserve dollars will just be a CBDC.
I feel like we must have failed as libertarians if this person is willing to take gold backs, but only if they can immediately turn around and liquidate them for cash. Like, we failed to get him to understand the appeal of the gold backs or why he wants the gold back. To him, a number of years ago, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, they had these vendor coins, right? If you were a vendor here, I think you got 10 of them, and they were, I think they were valued at $5 each. I don't remember, but every vendor got two of them to spend per day, something weird like that. And at the end of the week, you could take these little pieces of plastic up to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and you could exchange them for cash. And thank God they stopped doing this, because it was silly and useless. But it was a way of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, the Free State Project, providing something to their vendors, a thank you, so to speak. But it wasn't. That didn't mean the pieces of plastic were useful or valuable. They were just holders. They were IOUs for cash. And that's not what we want at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. If I pay someone gold, I want it to be... Look, if I had known that you were going to end up with the gold that I was spending with this guy, I would have just kept it, right? And just given him the cash and kept the gold for myself. I thought I was helping to distribute a currency that I love and care about.
Well, and that's the way it works for almost everybody who takes it, right? I have told a couple of the vendors, like, oh, no, that's totally liquid. I'm more than happy to redeem it for you. And we do have some mechanisms, like the United Precious Metals Association runs these accounts through Alpine Gold Exchange. And they make it possible for people to liquidate even huge sums sometimes, up to $10,000 worth of gold backs in any 30-day rolling period for no fee, no penalty, zero buy-sell spread. They get the full exchange, their full exchange at whatever the posted exchange rate is for Alpine Gold Exchange. And so, you know, there's a bunch of ways that you can do that. But, yeah, I think the main point is that we know we need an alternative. We know that we need an exit from systems of oppression, and especially from systems of oppression that can infect every aspect of our lives. And, you know, how is it that we interact with the government? In most cases, we don't interact with the government on a daily basis. But we do interact with the banks. We do interact with the currency all the time. And every time we're spending USD, we're voting for the things that inflation goes toward. And we're voting for the military-industrial complex. We're voting for the administrative state, the war on drugs, which is basically just a war on the American people. The war on this war on the American people reaches into our wallets every single day to get their money to regulate us.
Very well said. And on that note, I have to ask, were these ideas that you had prior to coming to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, or did we corrupt you and make you, like, did you take issue with the military-industrial complex 5 years ago, for example?
Oh, I definitely did, okay. But I'm a pacifist. I was raised a pacifist, a religious pacifist, and I really arrived at libertarianism in a somewhat roundabout, more religious way than most libertarians do. I was talking a lot about nonviolence in Eastern religions and a lot about pacifism in Western Anabaptist and Mormon historical religious traditions, and that led someone to point out to me, well, hey, that's a lot like the non-aggression principle libertarians talk about. And I was like, oh, really? What's that? And that was probably 15 years ago or something like that. I was a Democrat. I was a very active Democrat. I actually, you know, helped select the people to go to the national convention and help run the state convention and things like that down in Arizona. So, I mean, I was very much a liberal. But really what had driven me to be a liberal in the first place was that I was tired of the way the Republicans were expanding constantly the spending on the military and as well as the administrative state. I thought, well, I love to tick off my conservative Republican friends. They'd say, why are you a Democrat? And I'd say, because I believe in fiscal responsibility. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? The Democrats are worse than the Republicans. And I'd say, well, yeah, but how good are the Republicans? And they'd be like, well, not very good, at least not since, like, you know, the last 100 years or so. But, you know, and I'd be like, yeah, see, you know, I'm sorry, but, like, you're not going to get me that way. But then once I learned more about libertarianism, I basically thought, okay, I've been a libertarian all along. As soon as I got any Democrat in power, they were immediately doing everything right that I didn't want in the first place, like funding endless wars and...
So I realize you're not a Catholic. You're Mormon, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's correct.
But I have a confession. I have been spreading misinformation.
Fear not,
apparently.
My daughter. You are absolved.
Thank you.
No. Well, of course, I have no authority to say that either.
Right, obviously. I have been spreading misinformation, apparently. I've been corrected on this. I have been telling people that the gold back cannot be smelted down to redeem the gold out of it. And now I thought that you and I had a conversation about this last year, and that was what I was basing this on. I thought I remembered you saying that one could not do that. But Ian has since informed me that, yes, you can smelt the gold down, but it's a complicated process. So
it's not terribly complicated, but you do need the right facilities. So I wouldn't advise lighting a gold back on fire, but if you put it in a crucible and you heat it the proper way, yeah, the gold is fully recoverable. You can melt it down.
So it's no more complicated than melting down a silver bar to get the silver out of it. Is that right?
Correct. It shouldn't be any more difficult than that.
See, I don't know why I got it into my head that it was.
Now, let me tell you one of the reasons why I might have said something along those lines is it's kind of a terrible idea.
Well, yeah, half of its value isn't the actual gold. Half
right,
of
about, about half of its value is the fact that it's a financial vehicle. And so I like to compare it to an actual street vehicle. The same way that you wouldn't buy a brand new car or truck in order to immediately melt it down so that you could get some steel. Is the same reason why you wouldn't want normally to melt down a goldback to get the gold out of it, because when you do that, you ruin its value. So, you know, let's say you're going to go buy a new car. You're willing to pay more than like $500 or $600 for a brand new car, and for good reason. That car is going to get you someplace that you want to go. But if you were to turn around and melt that car down, you're only going to get about $500 worth of steel out of it.
It's a very good analogy, and it makes me feel a lot better, because one of the main criticisms that I've had against the goldback, and again, I love the goldback. As I mentioned, I brought about an ounce worth of gold in the form of goldbacks to sell this week. So, I mean, I have a lot of goldbacks, and I freaking love them. They're beautiful. I discovered this week, while you were here, that there is the Wyoming goldback, and I wasn't even aware that those existed. So there's this entire different set that I have to purchase now, which is like $380-ish, because...
Right.
I'm not
you got to have them all, right?
Well, yes.
It's like Pokemon cards or something.
I'm not a collector of goldbacks. I want to spend goldbacks. I want them to be useful as a currency. And so that means I have to spend them and trade them and earn them and acquire more. However, at the same time, I do still want a full set of each one solely for the art value they provide. Mm-hmm. And they are absolutely beautiful pieces of art. I assume it was the same artist who did the Wyoming ones that did the New Hampshire and the Utah and the Nevadas?
Actually, no. We had one artist who did Utah, Nevada, and New Hampshire. Her name is Cherry Jensen, and she's the one who designed those three sets. But we actually have a new artist that did Wyoming, and coming out in the fall, I wish I could give you a date, but we can't announce that officially on Free Talk Live yet. But in the fall, South Dakota is also getting their own designs. So those two states, Wyoming and South Dakota, were done by an artist named Annette Anthony.
Okay. Are they sticking with the same
style.
Sort of theme? With like, one of the things I love about the most is that they're very female centric. Like all of the pieces so far have featured a woman prominently rather than a man, which is a nice contrast to the USD, which is all men as far as except the Sacagawea coin, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, there was the old Susan B. Anthony too.
There was.
But dollar coins seem to be the exception, right? And the idea originally was just looking at Lady Liberty. And saying, okay, well, what is it that we can put into our design that will teach people good principles, true principles, that will make this have, the right spirit about it, the right purpose built into that money? And we wanted to create a true free market by creating a free market currency that could circulate. So we thought about Lady Liberty, and that's when we looked into, well, why is Liberty a lady? Why is justice a lady? Well, it goes back to a Roman tradition of trying to symbolically depict the virtues or lessons of life in the form of a woman who would then embody those virtues symbolically. And that's why Lady Liberty is usually holding a light, for example, to light the way. And Lady Justice is blindfolded because she's impartial. Things like that, right?
Yeah.
And so as we looked into it, we found out there's several others, cardinal virtues, they call them, the main virtues. And oftentimes they would appear near the entrance of any Roman temple. And we thought, you know what, this is a fun idea. Let's take the history and the symbology, like, you know, the state flower and the state bird and stuff like that, of every place that we do this, and work it into the notes so that each goldback will teach something that is hopefully a virtuous lesson. But, yeah, it basically means every goldback has a woman on it. None of them have a man, but... It's because they're symbolic.
It is what it is, right? So the owner, the creator, the founder of Goldback is also a Mormon. You yourself are a Mormon. I don't know a whole lot about Mormons, but one of the people that I watch on TikTok and YouTube is a Mormon named Dan McMillan. And as I understand it, he never really talks about politics. He's a theologian. He talks about Christian history and stuff. Tremendously intelligent guy, very enlightening. And I see similar characteristics in you, for example... 2 years ago, I think it was, you said to me that Satanism is a denomination of Christianity, technically. And, like, that was something I had never thought about before. And you're absolutely correct. But all of that said, what it seems to me as though there is some common ground, some philosophical common ground between Mormonism and libertarianism, some belief that humans can be and should be better than we currently are, that we are beautiful but flawed creatures but we should be motivated by love and compassion and understanding more so than any of these other things. And libertarians puts those characteristics first, and as far as I can tell from the Mormons that I've interacted with in a very limited way, they tend to also put those characteristics first, ahead of, like, ahead of traditional values or whatever other ideas that may hold.
Mormonism actually has this concept. We call it the plan of salvation. It's the idea of the path of the human soul throughout the cosmos, right? The path of life, and this life is only one small aspect of a broader thing. So we believe in a premortal existence, that before we were born, we had a spiritual existence or essence already. And the reason I bring this up is because this is a very libertarian idea. So basically, if you tell this to any Mormon that you want to make a libertarian, you can really point out that Mormonism is a libertarian religion. So we have this idea that they existed before birth. So what were we doing? What were all these spiritual entities doing? Well, in this spiritual world, before this world was created, we believe that there was a great conflict, a great question. And that conflict and question was about freedom. It was about agency.
Wow, okay.
We believe that the enemy of mankind, generally associated with Satan, therefore, or the devil, was attempting to take away the freedom of mankind, trying to say, no, man will be in my image, man will do as I say, and I will therefore make a perfect creation, because that perfect creation must be obedient to all that I say and do.
Are you suggesting that Yahweh would be the devil in this figure?
I do recognize from a Satanist viewpoint.
Because that's what I would argue, and I'm just curious.
Yeah, so, but our view was that Yahweh had the opposite view. And that Yahweh said, no, man must have their agency, because if they cannot choose, if they cannot choose evil or good, if they cannot do whatever they please, they will never be able to grow into the stature that they're meant to become. And in Mormonism, that goal, and this is one of the reasons why most people find Mormonism blasphemous, that goal is to become a god, to become perfected, to become perfectly embodied, perfectly realized in all divine attributes.
Have these people not read the Bible? Because, like, apotheosis and deification are, like, common threads in the Bible of a person.
Right?
At one point, God, I think, one of the Psalms says, ye gods, and refer to all of them.
All of the people.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, this is a very libertarian idea, I believe, that really sits at the heart of Mormonism. And so if you ever meet an authoritarian Mormon, you could be like, hey, you know, isn't that the devil's plan? And they will know what you're talking about. Because there's this concept in Mormonism that the devil's plan was to take away our freedom, and that God wants us to have our freedom, because only through our experience can we truly become gods.
I like that idea. And, you know, it coincides with a lot of what I believe as well, which is that our goal here as existing creatures is to become better, is to use the rope that we have, not to hang ourselves, but to cast it up there and climb it to new heights and become better.
How cool is that, right? I mean, sometimes the outwardly it appears different, but I love the idea that a Mormon elder and a priestess of Satan can actually find that we actually have more common ground than difference. And that's
absolutely
the type of thing that seems to happen in a place like Porkfest. You know, when we all want our freedom and we find common ground.
It's truer than not, in my experience. One of the issues I have with the internet and social media is that it causes people to focus more on their differences than their similarities. And, I mean, this has always been an issue with human beings. We sort of do that. If you have 100 people in a room, you're not going to focus on how they're similar. You're going to focus on how they're all different.
Right.
And social media sort of embodies that. It causes people to divide themselves into smaller and smaller groups and be more and more hateful and vicious toward one another. But really, we all, there's a lot more common ground between you and I than we have with the elites. And that's one of the points I try to make to some of the statists, some of the authoritarians, is like, look, I don't care that you hate trans people, that you hate Satanists or whatever. None of that really matters. You and I still have a whole lot more in common than you have in common with Donald Trump. And I realize that Donald right. Trump is telling you what you want to hear, but he's exploiting you. And the reality is that he's using your hatred of me to boost himself, right?
Right. And that's the divide and conquer tactic that the politicians are always using against us. Because, of course, if we were united, we'd be unstoppable.
Yes.
But that's how power works. If they can make us be divided, then it's easy to keep us under their control. And this is why, I think that the prison, the real prison of totalitarianism, the real oppression. It exists in our minds more than it exists anywhere else. I still remember vividly when I was in law school. I'm an attorney. When I was in law school, I remember a professor speaking with us, and he said, "Where is the government present?" And I thought, well, the government's everywhere, right? I mean, like, we're in the, as long as we're within the sovereign borders of the United States and the government is here in some kind of, like, mental sense or something. And he's like, no. The laws about government action or inaction. The government is only present where it is acting according to its commission, which is the Constitution. And so there is no government present unless an agent of the government is acting.
Okay.
And I think I see what you're saying. Oh, my goodness. So I'm like in my house and I'm thinking, there's literally no government here. I'm living in a state of anarchy right now unless I allow the oppression to be inside my own mind. Because there's no government agent here rummaging through my stuff with a lawful search warrant or something.
Have you heard of the prison experiment where they had no... It's just an experiment. It's a hypothetical one where they had no guard, no walls, but they it was completely open. But if you reached a certain area, they would shoot you and kill you. And after a number of people had done this, people stopped trying to escape. And after a few generations of this, no one was trying to escape, and there was no longer any guard there in the first place, right? The people had been trained that if they tried to leave, they would be shot. So don't even try to leave. That's sort of similar to what you're saying. You're only imprisoned if you imprison yourself.
Right. And, we also oppress each other.
Very true, sadly.
Because of these divisions, we end up oppressing each other. An example of that was an experiment they did with a bunch of chimpanzees where they would spray them all with a fire hose anytime one of the chimpanzees tried to climb a ladder to get out the top. And then they slowly started replacing monkeys. And because once they'd trained the monkeys to stop any other monkey from climbing the ladder, nobody would let anybody else go.
We are going into overtime, so check us out at freetalklive.com. You can find our link to the podcast there. Ben and I are going to continue talking, and you will only be able to find that there. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.